This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and this message is an audio version of a message that was first published in March of the year 2001. This happens to be February of the year 2024, so we're talking about 23 years ago, just about. And the reason why I give you dates is because during the process of reading this message and putting it on audio, I might make some comment about some persons, places, or things, or events that took place during the time that caused me to insert them in this message that may or may not be relevant today. And when I come across something like that, I'll try to make a comment to you, let you know about why it was in here. But when it comes down to the Word of God, let me say this, that the Word of God is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it's 6,000 years ago, today, or 6,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, His Word is always relevant. And anyone that's exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives according to it. Now, our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. And he says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The title for this message is, "How Hard Is It to Be Saved?" How hard is it to be saved? In the subject scripture, Jesus is imploring those that are downtrodden, burdened, and without hope, used and abused, and those that are the gutter trash of society, to come to him, and he will make things much easier and better for them. Looking into my past life and the lives of some of those that I am associated with, I feel that if anyone can answer the question of how hard is it to be saved, I can. First, in my past, I was absolutely no good. I was a dog. I was my own man. I felt that anything I felt like doing, I could and would do. My life reflected one thing very clearly, and that is, I was a sinner on his way to hell, and I was doing everything I could to ensure that when I got there, I would have lived life to its fullest. I was doing it in grand style. Those that I hung out with were a motley crew of drug dealers, prostitutes, pimps, gays, homosexuals and lesbians, killers, hustlers, and you name it. When associating with these types of people, I found out that even though they said they were my friends, I had to watch what I did and where I went. When I hooked up with a woman, I had to watch out to see if there was someone waiting to do me in so that they could get her, or because they wanted her back. When gambling or hustling in general, it was like dog eat dog. If you snooze, you lose. In general, life was a challenge from morning to night. Either you get over on someone else, or they will get over on you. Either play someone, or you get played. I have been on both sides of that fence. Naturally, dealing with all types of people that were part of what was known as the in crowd, I've seen the good and bad that many of you haven't even come close to seeing. I've seen the junkie getting their fix and wondering if they didn't overdose because the kick was so strong. Laying out in dope dens, on stairwells, and in the alleys. I've seen them begging for money to get their fix. I've seen the homosexual, not the one that stands up and says that they are proud of what they are, but the one that just can't seem to deal with what they are doing, and in some instances have buried themselves in drug abuse so that they don't have to face reality. In other words, there's a lot of people out here or then in that time, and there's still today a lot of these gay people are gay, but they really don't like being gay because, you know, of the pressure and things that's put on them sometimes by their peers to get even deeper into homosexuality and things like that, and some of the stuff that they have to be doing to get pleasure out of whatever they're doing, and it's just so stressful for them, so they turn to drugs, just like some of us common folks that aren't gay. When the problems of this life start wearing you down, what do? You turn to drugs and so forth, just to try to escape the reality of the situation that you're in. Well, that's, I just added that in, but let's get back to the message. Several have abused themselves so much that they have died. Then we have the drunks. They prefer the name alcoholics, but the Bible calls them drunkards. They, like the drug addicts, go around trying to scrape up enough money to get that pint of booze so that they can make it through the day, or in some cases, for the next few hours. A lot of them end up at night in the alleys or in the bathrooms, tossing their guts up from the effects of their overindulgence, just so they can come back and do it all over again. Then there is the prostitute who, working for her pimp or even for herself, puts her life on the line every time she goes with a trick, not knowing whether this particular individual will go crazy on her, kill her, or give her some sexually transmitted disease which will surely make it hard for her to make money afterwards, unless she keeps it a secret and passes it on to someone else. Then she may have to put her life in danger for sure. In other words, you know, prostitutes, you know, they get out here, go making this money and things, and going with these clients, you know, these tricks. And if the client has a disease or something like that and doesn't tell her about it, because, you know, some clients, some prostitutes, they don't, it's not that they don't use protection, but they expect the trick to use protection. If the trick don't want to use it and she needs that money real bad, she'll have sex with them without using protection. And if the person happens to have a disease, then she gets the disease. Then the thing is, she goes around and has another client, and the other client doesn't want to have user protection and has sex with her, and she passes the disease on to her client, to this other client, and this client, depending on the who the person is, might wind up coming back after her to kill her or something, or injure her or something like that, for giving them this sexually transmitted disease, which in cases a married person has turned around and had sex with their spouse and wound up giving their spouse a disease, and the spouse knows she hasn't been messing around on the husband, so the husband must have been messing around, and then it's just a whole big mess. But this is the life of the prostitute. Anyway, these are but a few of the many cases of people dealing with the worst of what life has to offer. This is the group of people that I considered myself part of. This group, the in crowd as I call them, was my family. During this time of my life, I called myself really living. Then, one day I began to notice something. More and more of my friends were disappearing. Come to find out, they had died, were in jail, were in the hospital, or the psych ward, psychiatric hospital. And I began to face the realization that if I continued this lifestyle I was in, I would end up just like them. What I came to learn is that through all of these actions and circumstances, they, like myself, were really seeking something, even though we didn't know what it really was. The drugs didn't get it. The booze didn't get it. The sex didn't get it. Sure, we felt like we were getting it, but it only lasted for a little while. Then we found ourselves back in the same boat that we were in before. Constantly pursuing something that always seems to be just out of our reach can leave you so depressed that you will kill yourself rather than continue in that way. And that is what all of us, those that I mentioned here, and you are doing every day. Killing ourselves slowly, looking for the answer to that question that has always plagued mankind, and that is, who am I and why am I here? When I was about to give up on my search for the answers to my existence, I found the answer in a place that I hadn't even given a second thought to, and that was the Bible. In the Bible, I found out who I was. I found out what I was. I was made in the image of God. Imagine that. Unlike the rest of his creation, which he spoke into existence, he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Then he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. The reason for us being here is to worship and serve God. That's right, God made us to have fellowship with him and to be his servants. If you will look at Jesus Christ's life, it says that he took on the form of a servant. His total purpose was to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was to deliver man from the bondage of his sin nature and bring him back to God the Father. That sin nature is what will cause a person to spend eternity in hell. Man inherited that nature from Adam. When I consider the fact that Christ died for me to save me from the ultimate penalty of sin, which is death and hell, and that he gave his life in obedience to the Father because without him, there was no other way for me to escape, then giving my life to him so that he can use me to get other people saved is no problem for me at all. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is saying all those problems that I had trying to find satisfaction and meaning to my life are unnecessary. Peace and rest all abide in him. It's like a brand new automobile that has 300 horsepower and can go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. The car is meant to run on gasoline. If you use water, it won't move. If you use kerosene, you still have nothing. If you use milk, or pop or any other than what the car was designed to run on, you will get zero out of that car. That is what my life used to be like, and that's what your life is like today. You have all this potential in you because God designed you with it in you, but you have been running on the wrong fuel. You have been running on your own intellect, and you just can't seem to get on the right track. If you put gasoline in the car, you will get what it was designed to give you. If you get Christ in your life, you will see the potential that is in you. When I consider the second part of that statement where it says, "Take my yoke upon you," right there, I had a problem because that meant some form of slavery. A yoke is something that you use to control an animal that you want to move something. People that have farms and horses that don't have plows that run by gas know what I'm talking about. In order to plow your fields, they have to use animals to pull the plow, and they attach this big cumbersome device on the animal's shoulders and tie it around their necks, and the other end is to the plow. Then when they want to move the plow, they make the animal move and it drags the plow along the ground and the field gets plowed. So that is what a yoke meant to me. For me to tell you that if you get saved, everything will be just fine, that is a lie. When I got saved, I was well aware of what was going to be facing me. People were going to be talking about me, making fun of me, trying to discourage me, and trying to destroy me. It was and is still a battle. But if I consider the fact that before I got saved, people talked about me, made fun of me, and tried to destroy me, then I have already been conditioned to it already. But unlike living for myself before Christ, I had someone that proved their love for me by giving their life so that I could live the type of life God intends for all of us to live. Let me ask you this. How many of your so-called friends would readily give up their lives for you? How many of them can you trust with your significant other while you are away somewhere? How many of them can you depend on to watch over your money if you have any and not rip you off? When you are sick, you may have them come to visit you, but how many of them can heal you? If you are crippled, how many of them can raise you up to walk again? Or if you are blind, return your sight to you? On and on I could go. But the final question is, how many of them can deliver you from the penalty of sin, which is hell? They may tell you what they will always, that they will always be there for you, but what happens if they get sick or something happens to them and you won't be able to call, on them? And, you know, because that's the same thing. You know, people always say, well, you know, whenever you need me, call me. Yeah, but that's given the fact that unless they're sick themselves, or suppose they die or something like that, or in an accident and they're in the hospital. See, there's nothing there. So in other words, they are limited. Everything that I am telling you about the life before Christ is designed to let you know one thing, and that is, even though being saved is not a tiptoe through the tulips experience, it is a whole lot harder to be unsaved. When I look at what is going on today out in the streets, now mind you, now I'm talking about what was going on back then in 2001. This is the year 2024, and I can still say this is still relevant today. When I look at what is going on today out in the streets, I am surprised that many of you aren't dead or out of your minds already. It is only the grace of God that has you still moving around on this earth. But like all things, it will be coming to an end a lot sooner than some of you think, talking about your life. When the time comes, you will stand before God, and what will Jesus say about you to the Father? Will he claim you as one of his, or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you, into everlasting fire and torment? If I were you, I wouldn't wait to jump on board with Jesus. The difference in my life now that I am saved versus when I wasn't is like comparing night to day. Life has meaning, and I don't find myself searching for some new thing to keep me going. No stress, no fears, no bondage. Victory is all that I experience now. You too can have what I have. All you have to do is pray to God and ask him to save you. Just pray this prayer. Jesus, I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart right now and be Lord over it. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again for my justification. And according to your word, right now, I am saved. With that simple little prayer being prayed from the heart and meaning every word of it. I mean, you know, you can repeat the prayer, but if you don't really mean it, see, God knows you didn't mean it. But if you really prayed that prayer from the heart, meaning every word, you have begun a new life that will only get better and better as time goes on. You will begin to kick yourself in the head for not having done this sooner. It's a whole lot harder to be unsaved than it is to be saved. Well, that is the end of this message, and I hope that you got something from it. The whole idea about the message, like I said, how hard is it to be saved? If you consider all of what you've been going through in your life thus far, I don't know how old you are, but even if you are in your early 20s or even a teenager or something, and haven't really experienced that much in life, why go through the tests and trials and the problems and things that the older people have faced and are trying to warn you to keep you from making the same mistakes that they did? See, they learned, especially like your parents and things, hopefully learned from their mistakes, and they don't want to see you having to go through the same problems that they have had to go through. But yet and still, you figure, you know, you want to get out there and try life for yourself. Like, you figure, well, my mom and dad made a mistake, but I won't make that mistake. No, you may not make the exact same mistake, but you're going to make a mistake, because the first thing you're doing is you ignoring the fact that what God has put before you. Like I said at the beginning of this message, it would do good for you, once you've been exposed to it, to take heed to it and address, adjust your lives according to it. Meaning, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls and the dangers that life has for you, or whether I could say that the devil has for you, because that's who's behind all the problems that you're having in the first place. That he has for you, all you have to do is just be smart enough to look at the situation, look at which way you want to go, and you know, make the intelligent decision that you want to follow Christ, and you don't want to have to go through what your parents and grandparents and other people are going through. Some of you now, you can look at some of your friends or people that you know and see the situations that they found themselves in that are your age, and they're trying to get you to come along and join in with them. Why you want to get on a boat that's sinking when you can be on, stay on shore, get on a boat that's going to take you safely across the rivers of life, and with you not having to have any problems? Yeah, you might have to. You might have some problems when it comes down to adjusting to the new life of being saved, but you know, that's a whole lot better, because the reward, if anything else, the reward at the end is a whole lot better than what you will be facing if you stay on the path that you are on now. So, like I say, it's like Jesus said, you cast all your burdens and cares on him, because, like, basically it's stress, not knowing what it is you need to fulfill your life. God has all of that for you if you trust in him. But you want to go out here and try drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever else, and find out it's not going to work. So, like I say, you know, there's an old saying that a word to the wise is sufficient. And I hope that you are the wise someone that is wise and say, I don't need to be going through this. I'm going to do what God says I ought to do. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And once again, I would like to say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again. Good day.